All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to visit a little bit today. We'll probably start a book in the next lecture, a new one. But I want to talk about some of the most asked questions. We're in a lot of new cities and so forth, and maybe it's best we address some of those questions. And I'll kind of take the most serious ones, and I would give them prominence for seriousness, and as much as it could be the very thing that could get a lot of people confused and could be very serious, and as much as it could deceive a lot of people, especially in this generation. I have very little doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that the generation that we're now living in is the fig tree generation. And that, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the 13th chapter of Mark, which we're going to be touching on some of that today, the 13th chapter, that is, we're living it now because of the prophecy that is coming to pass with the change, the power that one worldism is receiving through the United Nations. You might say the unity behind that. Let's speak a moment, if we may. Christ was asked in the 13th chapter of Mark, as well as the 24th chapter of Matthew, he mentioned when he would return that he would turn the buildings of Jerusalem to sand. Why? Because Antichrist would be standing there, and it would be cleansed to receive the Millennium Temple. And he gave seven signs that would be the events that would consummate the end of the age. And of course, those seven things are the seven seals and the seven trumpets, not in chronological order necessarily, but the trumpets, of course, being then, not the seals in chronological order, but the trumpets, yes, in chronological order. And he mentioned that many would come in his name, that's to say, I'm a Christian preacher, or I'm a teacher, minister, or whatever, of Christ. We observed in the book of Corinthians, having just finished the second Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, that Paul warned there, even. He said, don't marvel, because Satan himself is going to come disguised as an angel of light, meaning the light, and Christ is the light, meaning he would come claiming to be Christ. So, it should put a Christian on guard. What does all that mean? Therefore, it would behoove one, and that's one reason that we give the Mark of the Beast tape free, because it covers most of those seven events and tells of the warning, the chronological order that events will take place. I'm going to choose today to begin with probably the, I don't want to say mistaught, but just isn't taught. The fact that everyone speaks of the Great Tribulation. But what they don't tell you is that in this 13th chapter of Mark, Christ very definitely warns us of two tribulations. Now that's what's going to catch a lot of people off guard. Why? Because the false Jesus returns first. That's what the whole warning is about. And he will deceive as many as will believe upon him. And it is a time, no one is going to depart into thin air before that happens, unless they die a natural death. Because the change of bodies does not take place until the last trump, which is to say, the seventh trump. And the trumps are very good for you to chronologically in your mind keep things in order. And this is very serious. Why would the two tribulations be more serious than many other problems of untaught things in God's Word? The simple reason is, if you believe that the first great tribulation is the great tribulation, you're going to worship the false Christ. I know that may sound so very strange to some, but just listen a moment. You stick with me. the false Christ coming first is not coming in warlike. He's not going to have a pitchfork. He's not going to have two horns. He's going to call himself the Messiah. He's certainly not going to tell you he's the false Messiah. He's going to claim to be the Messiah. And I have no doubt in my mind he will be saying, I've come to rapture you away. And Christ continues then after in this 13th chapter of Mark, warning that many would come in his name, but they would be false preachers. Because a preacher that doesn't teach both tribulations could deceive his entire group. He continued on and he mentioned how that some, that is to say those that would stand against this false Messiah, would be delivered up to his church, synagogue, and would cause them to come there for the purpose of converting them to his way of thinking. In other words, the false Messiah plays the part of Messiah in as much as he will teach he is the Savior. That's what the word Messiah means. That's what the word Yeshua means, the Messiah being the Anointed One. The Anointed One is God's Savior. Therefore, he will claim to be God's Savior. Unfortunately, he's just the opposite. His tribulation is called the first great tribulation for one simple reason. It is a tribulation of religion. You could even say, in as much as he claims to be Christ, it is a tribulation of false Christianity. If you only knew, or not a student of God's Word, and if you only knew how that false Christianity, in ignorance, not deliberate, but in ignorance, is even rampant today, that people are not taught the things they were told to teach to the two churches that would overcome, that is to say, Smyrna and Philadelphia. Well, what did Smyrna and Philadelphia teach that Christ was pleased with them? Who the Kenites were? The members of that synagogue of Satan, which is to say, false Christianity. That they were taught, those two churches would continue to teach. It's the Great Commission. That is to say, teaching that key to David and who the Kenites are. And as it is written in Revelation 2:9, those that claim to be of our brother Judah and are not and do lie, but are of the synagogue of Satan. That's the only thing that made the church of Smyrna and Philadelphia stand out, therefore Christ giving them a crown because they were deserving. If you're not in a church today that does not teach those things, you better wake up. Not my word, but the Word of God. He mentioned that those that would refuse conversion then would be delivered up. And in Mark chapter 13, he gives a sign that probably is the best sign you'll ever have concerning the two tribulations. I want to ask a word of wisdom from our Father that would fall on those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that those eyes would be opened and those ears would be opened if it is your destiny in Yeshua's name. Now, in following this being delivered up at the big church to be converted, Christ gave another sign that is a very important sign. And he gave it in the 14th verse of the 13th chapter of Mark. And it reads, and let's cover it if we may, Mark chapter 13, verse 14, and it reads, "But when," now what time was that? "When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not." It should be translated "where he ought not." And I'll make that clear before we complete the thought. "Let him that readeth understand." What Christ is saying here, do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Can you understand? What is this abomination? We'll talk more of it. "Then let them that be in the land, in Judea, flee to the mountains." In other words, it gives you the geographical location where that desolation shall take place, that abomination, rather. And the "when" is one of the events that consummates the end of this age, which is to say, the end of this earth age before, right before Christ's return. I want to give you a little Greek lesson, if I may. Dr. Moffat translates the word "it" here as "he." The same word in the Greek that means her, him, it. All right, it's the same word. It is the subject that is being addressed that determines the value of the word. In other words, if I were talking about a female and called her by name when this Greek word came forth, it would automatically be translated she. All right. If it is a object, then it would be called it. But it's the same Greek word. Therefore, it's very easy. If the translation is not accurate, to translate it as an object, a condition, rather than an individual. Now, the subject up to this point has been an individual, and it will continue to be an individual further into this chapter. But Christ here makes the book of Daniel a part of the New Testament. Very clearly does. He gives credentials to it. What did Daniel say about this? Daniel gave a prophetic utterance concerning 70 weeks. And in this utterance concerning the 70 weeks, he sets aside the 70th week, which is a period of a seven-year period, a week of years, you might say. But it's separate from the first 69 years. Those prophecies happened. They came to pass with the birth of Christ, with his crucifixion and so forth. But the second, then, that and the last of those weeks, I should say, the 70th, is that week that will consummate the end of this age, and that's what Christ was speaking of, the abomination that maketh desolate. It happens to fall in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel in the 27th verse, and this is your first tribulation. And it reads in that 9th chapter of Daniel in the 27th verse, and he, that's the false Messiah, the instead of Christ, or he that claims to be Christ but is not, that's the he, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years split into 3.5 years each to fit all prophecies of the Bible. Of course, this has been shortened, but be that as it may. And in the midst of the week, that's after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What does that mean? Well, the sacrifice and oblation happens to be communion to the Christian. And with this one claiming to be Christ, naturally he causes the present communion to cease. Why? He will claim he is Christ on the throne in Jerusalem. That simple. Now listen carefully. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now the Hebrew is very specific in this. It says, and on wings. This overspreading is wings, on wings as a desolator, not a condition, but an entity, even until the consummation. What consummation? Those seven things that consummate the end of this age. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You check it out in your Strong's Concordance. You have one. Check out the Hebrew word, and you will find rather than desolate, it is desolator. And I'll tell you who will pour it out on the desolator is the true Christ at his return. Now, that is, and you will find in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, that this dude, this false Messiah, comes in with flatteries. He comes in by peace, not with war, but very peaceable. I want you to take a look around at the world today and its condition. I want you to look at Somalia. I want you to look at, better yet, Bosnia, the Serbs. Awful what's happening there in the name of religion. Awful. Absolutely horrible. But there is a day coming when there will be one appear that will bring peace to the world. A false peace, if we may put it that way, for clarification. Because he will come in peacefully and prosperously, and the whole world will be anxious to grab onto that, regardless of what religion they go by. Because he will claim to be the leader of that religion. He will be supernatural. Christ has made that very clear. The desolator. And he will make desolate the true believers and the true Christ that paid the price on the cross for having forgiven our sins, for forgiving our sins on our repentance. But the question is, that's being addressed here, is when? When does this happen? Daniel, Christ saying, when you see that Daniel speaks of, and we could spend a lot more time, but in one program we can't cover that, all of it. Again, that's why we request you order the Mark of the Beast tape if you're a new student with the chapel. It will go into a great deal of that. When would it happen? When you see him actually with his feet on earth, and you must read Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through about 10, to find out how that comes to pass, how he gets here, how he arrives, and it will be made very clear for you there. But let's return to the 13th chapter of Mark. The question is when, and we'll be showing some more signs. Don't let any man tell you contrary to the Word of God. You stick with it. Many men, the majority, will be deceived. See that you're not. Okay? I want to go to the 15th verse of the 13th chapter of Mark. Listen carefully. And let him that is on the housetop... What happens on the housetop? That's where the watchmen, at the times of this writing, were always stationed. Not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. In other words, when you see the false Messiah standing in the land of Judea, which is to say Jerusalem, if you're on the housetop as a watchman, just yell out the warning and don't go back in to get anything. You're not going to need it. Get out. Okay? The danger, well, danger of what? Well, Christ said in the beginning of this, I'm going to turn this mount to sand. There won't be one stone left standing atop another. I'm going to grind it to a powder. Verse 16. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. In other words, you're not going to need any extra baggage. The end is so close that we're talking about a matter of days. Verse 17. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. What does he mean by that? He means quite simply, remember, we've just finished Corinthians, where Paul said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. How many will be impregnated spiritually? It is a blessing for a mother to bear a child. That's what man was placed on this earth for, and ordered to replenish it. Not talking about that. Those that would become impregnated with the mark of the beast in their forehead, which is where the gray matter is, your brain, you're supposed to use it, and you're supposed to understand the simplicity in which Christ taught. To give suck means to do the work, even if you would, or to nurse along, even, the work of this false one. Alright? Now, let's go to verse 18. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. When is harvest? How many times have you heard referenced in parables and other things that the end of the world is the harvest? Alright? Well, that's what it is. It's the harvesting of souls. You don't harvest things in the winter time. Harvest usually comes in the fall. That would be, or summer. It's out of season. Verse 19. For in those days, what days? The days of that abomination. For in those days shall be affliction. Do you know what this word affliction is in the Greek? Tribulation. This is the first tribulation, is false Messiah walking this earth, okay? Such, there will be tribulation, affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. The tribulation is, believe it or not, a peaceful tribulation, and that's why many will be deceived, because it is Satan deceiving all those that are biblically illiterate. They can even call themselves Christians, but if you're biblically illiterate, whereby you have not studied your Father's Word, whereby you do not understand the simple chronological order of events, forget it, honey. I don't care what you call yourself. You're ignorant of God's Word if you do not understand. And you live in a generation that, friend, you had better learn to love the Word of God. You had better learn to love the warnings that Christ has given us. This tribulation is as the travail, even if you would, of a child in many places, the pain of a woman in delivery, as the pains come closer and closer together, and then the birth of a new age. What will be your role in that? It's your choice, friend. Who do you listen to? God's word or man's word? Remember that. Verse 20, and except that the Lord have shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. In other words, he is so convincing, as it is written in Revelation chapter 13, that he can snap his fingers and make lightning come from heaven. That's to say the false Messiah, false Jesus, instead of Jesus, and perform miracles that will deceive most of the world. They're not trained, they're not taught from the Word. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, who chose them? Christ chose them. He has shortened the days. We know from Revelation chapter 9 that it has been shortened to a five-month period. Verse 21, and then if any man, who? If any man, any preacher, any one of these that state they come in the name of Christ, shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. No, that's a lie. 22, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Hey, not some little sideshow circus you've got going around now. I'm talking about the fall of the Nephilim. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where Michael cast the false Messiah and his angels, all supernatural entities, out on this earth to perform sights and wonders that man is not mentally prepared for if he's biblically illiterate. If he understands the Word of God, it'll be a day of praising. Even the elect, if it were possible, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Many will question themselves. What was the next sentence that Christ spoke then? Verse 23, but take ye heed. That means be very careful. Verse 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. In other words, in the Word of God, Christ has gone into detail concerning this first tribulation. That's why if you're not aware that this first tribulation shall happen in this final generation, you're going to get sopped up in it, friend. Because you know what? This, instead of Jesus or the false Messiah, and Christ didn't say maybe there's going to be a false Christ. He said there will be. And men will be crying out, he's here and he's there. Of course, we know he will be in the land of Judea from verse 14 of this book, chapter. If you're not familiar, and if you've never been taught about that first tribulation, you're in trouble, my friend. Because you're biblically illiterate. Is it your fault? On Judgment Day, it will be accounted as such. You know why? It isn't taught. But that's why there will be many taught in the millennium, for a sin committed in ignorance is not counted as sin. But do you know what happens after that first tribulation? Let's go on with it a little bit. Remembering Christ has warned you, foretold you in His Word, not what some windbag might say, but in the Word of God. Now listen carefully. But in those days, what days? The days of the desolator. The days that they will be claiming Christ is here or He is there when He's a fake. Performing miracles that would even deceive the very elect if that were possible. Verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, after what tribulation? The first one. After that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. 25, and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming. That is, then shall they see the true Christ coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect from the four winds. The four winds are the key, beloved. That's the four spirits, mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 as well as in Daniel chapter 7. From the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. In other words, then comes God's great tribulation, whereby He destroys His enemies. Are you an enemy of God? If you are, you'll be destroyed. If you're not, you don't have to worry. You will be gathered. You'll not be harmed. It doesn't matter where you are. This is the so-called gathering back to Christ. Don't use the word rapture. It's not in God's Word, and it will cause you to be deceived. Most people that use the term rapture draw it from one book. Oh, I know there are other places, but they pay no attention to the rules of Greek or Hebrew. You have to be very careful. But at that point, the angels gather God's own elect. Those that are deceived, what happens to them? They'll be praying for mountains to fall on them, because they claimed they were Christian, but they misled their churches to the wrong Jesus. That's why Jesus will say, get out of my sight. Don't call my name. I never knew you. Why? They're biblically illiterate. They pay no attention whatsoever to the simplicity in which Christ taught. They would rather play one-upmanship. They're trying, one group trying to impress another, rather than teaching the children of the living God, babes in Christ. You see, it commonly is drawn from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. There's just one big thing. They usually don't read the 13th verse, which gives you the subject and the object in the Greek. The subject and the object, quite frankly, is a question which is to simply say, where are the dead? Where are they? And Paul goes into great detail, saying that if you believe Christ rose from the dead, and you'd better, or I don't know why you would call yourself a Christian, then he says, where do you think the rest of them are? He said, don't be ignorant like the heathen. They've already risen. And we that remain cannot precede the dead. Do you know why? They're already there. And then he mentions at the last trump, we will all be changed in the twinkle of an eye. That's this gathering I just mentioned at the beginning of the second tribulation. Christ is coming back here and will gather us here. It states there that we will all be changed and we will meet Him in the air, but the Greek word is in the breath of life body, which means simply at that wink of the eye we're all changed in the spiritual body. And that is the in-depth clue as to how you can tell when the true Christ does return, because you'll no longer be in a flesh body. And beloved, while you are in your flesh body, there will be supernatural events in this generation. Just during the first tribulation. It is after that tribulation that the true tribulation, which is to say the one brought on by Christ destroying Satan's power, shall transpire. That's probably the most pressing thing concerning gathering knowledge from the Word of God. It is the most valuable knowledge, aside from salvation, is to understand the chronological order. You don't have to know the instant, the moment, just the order, so that you know what follows what. It's your soul, my friend. Now, anyone that is new and has never had a free Mark of the Beast tape, you can ask for one, and it will go into much more detail. It's an hour and a half lecture on that subject. So, be advised, there are two tribulations. The first tribulation is the false Messiah, the false Savior, who is a supernatural entity, as stated by Christ himself, that will stand in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ. Avoid him like a plague. And within that, you perhaps will find yourself. Let's go into another question, if we may. One of the other most asked questions is probably divorce. Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that if a man or a woman be married to a non-Christian and they refuse to let them study, they are free to let them, if they leave, let them go. All right? But in the first place, we either have to teach and must believe that Christ forgives sin or he doesn't. And on repentance, he even states, I don't want to hear about it again. So by Paul's teaching, as well as other teachings, as well as it is written in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, God divorced his first wife, Israel. Will he take her back? Yeah, in Christ. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. And don't ever let anyone is divorce nice? Divorce is awful. Absolutely awful. Painful. Painful to everyone. It should be avoided. But once you repent of a sin, I don't care if it's divorce, which adultery or what, then don't ever let anyone accuse you, because Christ is able to forgive all sins but one. Now that probably brings to light then the unpardonable sin. Is there one? Answer, yes. And you better be forewarned about it, because it is a sin there is no repentance from. It is probably brought out the clearest in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, where it stipulates, when you are delivered up before the synagogues, you had best not deny the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through you, because that would be unforgivable. Do I think that will ever happen? No, I do not. I do not feel that anyone of God's elect that are not deceived and recognize the first tribulation and know Satan for who he is would come a lot closer, don't do it, but would come a lot closer to spitting in his eye than they would not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them. In other words, they're going to. They're talkers anyway. You can't keep their mouth shut, all right? They're waiting. They're anxious to allow the Holy Spirit to truly speak to them. That's the only time that shall happen. And my dear friend, that's what happened on Pentecost Day, was an example of it. Okay. There are many other questions, and perhaps we'll take at another time in between books, we will take a day that we will go through some more of those questions. But know this. Know this. Not being aware of the fact that there are two tribulations will deceive many. For as it is written in the book of Revelation, all the world will whore, will go wandering after that great whore, which is to say, Mystery Babylon. Babylon meaning confusion. Why? They're confused. Why are they confused? They're biblically illiterate. People have a great deal of difficulty in reading with an open mind the Word of God because preconceived ideas or precedents have already been established in their minds whereby they cannot listen to the Lord. They must listen to church systems. That has already been planted. Always take a little time to yourself and read carefully what is stated. And then you will understand with a touch of the Spirit what it is that your Father would have you.